For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Imp's WWE Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Order merch from all our shows over at chopped-tees.com. Thank you to Dickie. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes of the now 4-week streak of featuring right-wing America politic notes on what we were told were apolitical shows. Well, we've made it a month, baby. We've extended the streak. Also this week, I guested on Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide 50th celebration. We went over all 50 shows that he'd done, and we'd ranked all 50 of the matches talked about in each one of those episodes. So we did a full list of 50. The answer is yes. It took 3 hours. So it is a 3-hour show of me and Sam going through all the AEW stuff. So if you want to hear me talk about AEW, what does Imp think about AEW, given he mostly gets to only talk about WWE? Well, I got a 3-hour period. I got an extended period to talk about AEW over on Sam's podcast. So if you want to go give that a listen. But if you're subscribed to the Social Suplex feed, you will have all of that already. You'll already have his show. You can already go back and listen to it. But as for today, I get to talk about more Europe times for WWE on the road to WrestleMania. Of Bologna in Italy and Glasgow, Scotland. Get to pull out all the accents as we jump on over to our two Netflix shows. For me, SmackDown, 2 hours, 6 minutes on Netflix. For me, Monday Night Raw, 1 hour, 44. Ooh, smooth. That's a smooth wrestling show that somehow, even when edited, still feels a bit long. But this is the road to WrestleMania, so let's see. Have they done a better job starting to get me excited? Let's jump on over. In Italia at the Azzurri were the latest European tourist board to get a good showcase. Not that it's difficult to make Bologna look bellissimo, but there we go. Anyway, let's jump on over to Friday Night SmackDown. Yes, opening this week's episode with Roman Reigns, CM Punk and Seth Rollins being officially set for WrestleMania. There's only one tribal chief, there's only one tribal chief. It's what the Italians were singing it, but they sang it in Italian, so it sounded way more romanticised. They were chanting that at Roman in Italian, fitting. Explaining that last week he got his own back on both Punk and Rollins for what they did to him at the Rumble. Seth Rollins was the first to answer the call. Might as well save the bigger pop of the two for second. Seth Rollins telling Roman that they've been putting off having a match between those two, but maybe it's about time to have their match. The mention of a match finally signalled out CM Punk, and with only 5 minutes left for the show, I assumed there wouldn't be much beating around the bush. Speaking from up on the corner, so Punk was talking down to Roman and Seth, the first beat of a pause in between dialogue, with Roman turning to Heyman, the Chicago man immediately jumped the big lad. Seth struggled to decide which one of these two he wanted to clobber more, but eventually made up his mind with CM Punk. Speaking of Punkerton, he was the one that escaped the ring to climb the announce desk to point at the WrestleMania sign, teasing what's in store as the three brawled over ringside. Roman got the final say with the steel steps as Tessitore described the action as volcanic at ringside, an absolute eruption. But yeah, a segment which was, you know, doing its job, setting it all up. The Italian crowd were white hot for it. Them singing and everything created an amazing atmosphere. They're white hot for the brawls. They're doing the brawls a lot. As somebody who's just like checking in the shows every single week, the brawls have stopped having their impact on me. They have to do something really special. Like the CM Punk Seth Rollins one that happened after the Chamber, there was just a different energy about that one, and the way that they filmed it, the way they went into the crowd during the ad break, that all really worked to help escalate that into something. This was a relatively more generic brawl. They didn't do anything different that you'd seen before. However, the thing that was getting the Italians excited was, okay, we're getting it. We're getting to see these three actually fall out and get this match at WrestleMania. And the Italian fans were all for it. which is like a nice little gauge just to see that even though I didn't have a big reaction to the brawl, the lifeguard are going crazy. I can at least understand why you would be excited for the match. They've done a lot to actually try and get you invested in these characters. There is definitely a feeling of the build having kind of lost its momentum way a little bit where we are right now. It feels like a show which, the way the card is looking, is going to be a solid show in terms of when we actually watch the thing. But in terms of the build, we've just ended a bit of a bobble, and for me a lot of that is some of the mid-card stuff has just been so routine. I've been saying it about Gunther, Jey Uso and Charlotte Flair, Tiffany Stratton, two different feuds, the two different Royal Rumble winners, and both of their feuds have just been so by the numbers and very, very similar in the way that they will have a certain thing happen just to set up a run out of interference, and it's week after week, it's the same stuff. Which is why it was nice we instead had a brawl end with Tiffany Stratton doing a dive last week off SmackDown onto a crowd of people. We've had the speaking over the telephone bit as well. Like, they've at least tried to inject something. Even though that happened last week, it did all start with Charlotte Flair having just her match, and that's like, okay, so this is a staging for Tiffany Stratton to run out. Oh, cool, look, here she is. Which is fine at all. The crowds are still popping. Like, what happens when the pop stops? The crowds are still popping. But it's just so routine, and I'm just counting down the days, and it's why I'm like, I don't want to put the women's type championship match in the other notes, and I don't want to put Jey Uso Gunther just in the other notes, but they're not doing anything new. They're just kind of spinning their wheels till we get to WrestleMania. They're meant to be like, this Royal Rumble win is meant to be like big things, but neither of them are main eventing. But like, I'm almost certain that Jey Uso is opening night one, but yeah, it's just there's a lot of momentum loss here. At least the acts are incredibly over, and the fans do want to see these three wrestle. There's that worry of, do they actually want to just see Punk versus Reigns? And I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know what they're gearing towards. But from what I'm seeing here, they seem fine. They seem excited enough. I don't think there's much of an issue of putting Seth in here. It appears to be working absolutely fine, and the fans seem to be getting like properly excited for this being a triple threat. Like, the way that these three are able to talk and dance around each other, I'm more interested in what character work kind of comes out of this. Like, I'm more interested for next week's show in London, with Punk returning to London. If you remember the last time he was in London, I feel like them getting across their character points, that's a great, great staging to actually get across all this stuff, rather than just have it be motivation explaining. It's very, very easy to have a contract signing just be motivation explaining, sign the contract, brawl, table spot. Like, it's very easy to fall into routine. But you've got CM Punk there, and he feels like a guy who will at least try and pitch not doing that. Doesn't mean he'll be successful. Sure, it may still end in a brawl, as everything seems to be ending in a brawl at the moment. But if you give me some interesting character work, I've got something to sink my teeth into. And that's my opening thing. That's my opening segment. That was the big hot brawl between the stars. And here I am, just like, yeah, it was fine. And you tell, if that's my number one talking point, what about the rest of the show? Oh, let me tell you, this was a show. It's the exact same notes I had last week. The show isn't particularly exciting. The show isn't particularly getting me that amped for WrestleMania. Last year they had it was a climax of a like multi-year long story with the whole Roman and Cody thing. And this feels much more low-key across the board of the show. It's not just the main event. The main event, they've done a really good job with, I think, in at least setting the stage for how big the match is. For me, they've done a good job there. Now they've got to actually get me excited for it. It's kind of the opposite. Yeah, in the CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, I'm wanting character work to get me excited, whilst in the John Cena, Cody Rhodes stuff, like, they're doing that character work stuff, but now I want the excitement part to come in. You've got like 3 weeks. If you amp that up for 3 weeks across two shows, that's more than enough time. But across the show, it just feels like the momentum has somewhat stalled for WrestleMania. Last year, we were having all these different things built up, where the Sami Zayn Gunther match as well. Whilst I'm not saying any of the matches seem kind of bad, I'm relatively like fine with all the matches that they're building up, but I'd be lying if I said there was like momentum and excitement going into what is being built. Like, a great example for this is on Monday Night Raw, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair and Io Sky, where I'm like, that's probably going to be my favourite match of the weekend. That's what it absolutely screams. As long as they don't get in their own way booking type of stuff and they just let this match breathe, it could be one of the matches of the weekend, personally, for me. That said, all of their segments, I'm not enjoying them. Last week I was talking about it being better for Rhea Ripley's character the way that she did it. This week we're kind of just back to just like, you're almost trying to hindsight book, make it make sense and set up to get Ripley in there in a way that's just like, oh, we need the fans to digest it, therefore we need a logical explanation. So, you've already entered nonsense, so it's like, fine. Like, it is absolutely okay that just to have Io Sky say, yeah, I want to face both of them. Instead, there's this really weird, wiggly thing with different title matches and different setups and things. But anyway, let's go through the rest of SmackDown. I realise most of my notes are coming from Raw. It's just because there's not many notes to actually use, which we got a direct run for WrestleMania with SmackDown. Because here's an example of an act, which is White Hart, which I will 100% would feature on WrestleMania, and we probably are going to get on WrestleMania. But as for now, the road isn't directly set. You can probably predict where it's going, but it hasn't been directly set. The number one contender United States Championship match, Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman. The built-up Braun Bloodline Big Boy Bash barrels by. The number one contender stip was just casually announced by Strowman in a backstage conversation with LA Knight, with Braun moving his hand to the beat of him remembering his lines. That just awkward, unnatural delivery of a ton of WWE stars for the scripts hasn't fully gone. It is still there. I will repeat my lines. A match that was exactly what you're picturing. Two large lads lamping and launching each other. And the Italians were there for every beat of it. The crowd, the real thing being put on display here. As once the ads for the upcoming matches had all been displayed, out came Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa to cause a DQ interference to Jacob Fatu's dismay. LA Knight out to even the odds and give us our championship stare down. You'll see this similar title match play to set up a WrestleMania triple threat with the Women's World Heavyweight Championship on Monday Night Raw. I feel like it's going to be this Monday. They're doing Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley in London. It gives a big London match, but in terms of the actual story they're telling, it's a staging for an interference, which is just like, okay, fine. I need to stop talking about that match because that's not a SmackDown thing. This is building chaos for the United States champion. We've got Jimmy Uso out on the side as well. We've got Solo Sikoa. Then there's the Braun Strowman Jacob Fatu whole thing, and there's going to be Braun Strowman versus LA Knight next week, which, again, I will bet my hat is a staging for an interference. The Intercontinental Championship on Monday Night Raw with the main event this week was a staging for an interference. Like, it just feels like every title match at the moment is a staging just for that kind of play, and it's the only idea they've got, so they're just doing it for everything in slightly different ways. Like the one on Monday Night, well, you got the whole Judgment Day stuff, you got it's a fatal four way, you go a different route. The women's one, oh, that's three people. You got the former champion, you've got the elimination chamber person, the person who kind of screwed the plans for the big Bianca Belair Rhea Ripley match in the Sky in terms of that wild card kind of thing. But it's still title matches as a setup for an interference to make up a multi-man. Seems to be the only way they know how to set up these multi-man things. And, like, I'll be super surprised if we don't get the same with the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, like, as well with Street Profits, with all of those different characters as well. We've got three more shows for SmackDown until WrestleMania. How many bets that we're going to get a title defense from them against one of the teams, and then some kind of chaos happens, with all different lads running out. So, yeah, I feel like I'm being a bit pessimistic with the kind of stuff, because we've seen it so many times on ready. We've seen it so many times. And I bet it's going to repeat. Even in the women's one, it's a similar Bianca Belair sits at ringside and distracts, and that causes some kind of thing. Anyway, we'll get onto that when I actually get to their segment in the other notes, because why would I put a contract signing that was standing in the main notes? Anyway, let's stay with the women, though. For something that I'm a bit more invested in. The title stuff I've got my kind of notes on. However, when it comes to the more personal drama matches at the moment, Jade Cargill versus Naomi and Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, the two SmackDown drama stories, I'm way more invested in those ones. It's the opposite of the women's one, where the build, not here for the triple threat women's raw title match at all for the build, but the actual match I'm all there for. These ones, like, I'm not really there as much for the match, but I'm generally having a decent time with all the drama. So Jade Cargill faced Liv Morgan. Apologies, I'll give her a full title. One half of the women's tag team champions, Liv Morgan, which latter called it. Cargill's in-ring return with a mini pre-match interview with Kathy Kelly to remind us of her motivations and all. A lot of character explaining this week to make sure we're all following the WrestleMania road being driven. Also, hilarious at the, this was the first time I saw it, there was a Mona Lisa in the crowd with Liv's face painted on it, and I saw a signature on the top right, and then went on social media afterwards and found out, oh, she did actually sign it, she did actually see it. A genuinely painted by a fan, getting signed by her and all. WWE showed this week on Raw that they themselves would likely just lazily AI generate such a thing, because Chad Gable's luchador gimmick in the promo package that played, there's rumour of AI being used. Your normal AI stuff, like people having too many fingers, that sort of thing, were kind of all apparent in that video. Liv chosen as the last to help remind us what Jade is all about. Immediately out to ringside for jabber shenanigans with Rodriguez. Back into the ring for your pretty much perfectly booked display for Cargill's strengths. It's what AEW nailed with her. She's not like your every other competitor, so it makes no sense to have her wrestle that same slow momentum flow style. As soon as we threatened to get near that standard WWE flow, in came different WWE staple in the form of an interference. Naomi, in her first display of her new heel look, big curled hair and caution tape to wallop Jade with Liv's tag title belt. Oblivion for the win, and straight into the beatdown we went. Baddie fists and stompy stomps before the commentary went all serious voice in reaction to Naomi bumping Jade off the apron and sending her flying into the announce desk. Just like the car, was the note apparently. What's the note? Hey, this is SmackDown. This is not the reinforced, insane Netflix desk. Like, no. But I guess if you think about it, what is an announce desk if not the bumper of a car? They're identical, right? They're basically identical. I'm all here for that match. I'm having a great time with the build with Jay Cargo and Naomi. It's the kind of drama which is absolutely fine for where it's going to be placing within the show. And onto the other notes. This was where Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair had their split screen video call bit, their scripts motivation explaining so we know exactly where both lasses are going into their WrestleMania match. So we've got 3 more weeks to pad this one out. Like, looking forward to the actual match. They've got nothing for the build. Absolutely nothing. Randy Orton opened the show again. Like, hey, give us Europeans a moment to sing and we'll be happy. Kevin Owens interrupted him before he could say anything, explaining his motivations to Randy. You can relate to letting your anger get the better of you and doing something you regret. And last week, I pulled Carmelo Hayes out of the ring to save you from yourself. The Italians chanted, no, 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 as he suggested going for the tag titles with Randy Orton, instead of falling out and having this match. Instead hurtling into said match, Randy Orton's response, you deserve a kick in the back of the head from Roberto Baggio. More sports references, I actually understand. I'm a baby of 1992, but I'm still more than aware of Italia 90. Like, more of aware of what happened at that tournament, given, as I was growing up, the amount of adults that would constantly tell me it was the best World Cup of all time, and therefore, any World Cup I was excited about was actually just like, because I hadn't seen Italian 90, I don't know the real best World Cup. But Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo, not the Cristiano one. Oh, but that Brazilian Ronaldo is so good. I assume I sounded like that as a child. Still 6 foot tall. Just so my voice hadn't broken through yet. Damian Priest and ad break entrance Jimmy Uso faced Shinsuke Nakamura and Drew McIntyre. The Italians cheered loudest for Drew, the Blue of Scotland translating over. Unfortunately for McIntyre, the Damian Priest match. It was worried that beforehand that Drew McIntyre being in such a nothing match at WrestleMania was a kind of, it's not really fair given the incredible year he's had. I'm watching the build. Yeah. It is nothing. It is absolutely nothing. Out of all of the non-title drama matches, this is the most nothing out of all of them. Piper Niven got to cheer up a poor Zelina Vega, the note being the ringside interferences for Chelsea Green's character. That and a missed slap. So missed by so far it was in another country. Zelina also has new, unmemorable theme music. Good for her? is that good for her? And listening to her new theme being, have I heard this before or not? Am I meant to have heard this theme yet? Or is this his debut? But it's still completely unmemorable. I've got no idea what it is right now. In trying to remember it, I've got a completely different person's theme in my head. And it's Roxanne Perez's. As I take a beat to remember who it was. The new WWE Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, out to a better mixed version of their theme. Death Rebel previously made for their Bobby Lashley business-adjacent run. I don't really know how to explain what that was. Not really wanting to do it. I guess it's a better way to put it. Champions again after 4 years. More than one You Deserve It chant broke out. Then they faced Garza and Berto of Legado de Fantasma to kill some time, I guess. After the break, DIY, Pretty Deadly and the Guns had a little conversation rotation backstage. But at least this was a match with the champions in it. Didn't end in interference immediately. They gave them a showcase and then later on they had the other lads that we need to be remembered about because these are the ones that's going to be involved in possibly a four-way match at WrestleMania. But yeah, that was SmackDown. The exact same notes I had last week. Like me, I've been standing here talking for about 30 minutes. I don't know how much has made it into the edit for you guys, but I'm basically spending 30 minutes saying the exact things I said last week. Like, it's a white-hot European crowd. They are amazing. They were great for the main event segment. The show itself is just very okay, but the crowds are so hot and so excited to see the wrestling. They're so white-hot crazy for everything. And that was also evident on Monday Night Raw, live from Scotland. The Hydro, absolutely perfect. Yeah, I suddenly realised right now, I'm just done talking about the SmackDown show. It was very nothing. Congratulations, Italy. You were a great, great crowd. But let's just jump on over to Glasgow. Just to make me, before I get into the show, for the notes in terms of comparing the two shows, because of course Raw has that Netflix budget. For me, the camera work did an excellent job of making the Hydro seem massive. It's got a big floor seating area, which really helps with the depth WWE currently films their basketball arenas with. So just imagine the way WWE are currently filming their crowd. The way they got it lit as well just adds way more depth. It looks so much nicer. I was playing the last year's WWE 2K game, because I'm not getting a new everyone. But we're playing the Raw stage on that one, where it's the previous staging, and it's so brightly lit, and it looks so shallow because of it. And in the current era, there's just way more darkness, and then you have different lighting spread throughout it. It adds so much more depth. But they're doing that in basketball arenas to make them just look like they're bigger than they are. Doing a great job in making the arenas look bigger. But you then take those same techniques to the Hydro. The seats aren't right there. They're not. It's not designed to be like a basketball court. It's not designed for you to be on top of the action. So when you've got actually a big floor area, and then you use those same techniques that are already designed to make it look bigger. Like, I thought this show looked amazing. I thought just the depth that was kind of just out there beyond them. Like the seats that then started to angle upwards, they seemed so far away. And I'm pretty certain it's all just to do with the techniques that they were already using to make the basketball arenas look big. But when you do that in an arena that's actually got a big floor seating area, suddenly it's like, oh wow, this actually looks amazing. And they got the drone shots going around as well. The Hydro being circular already makes it perfect for it. So yeah, I was a big fan of the production. I got to nerd out. I was like, oh, that's pretty. Anyway, as I said earlier, the version I watched was 1 hour 43 minutes. Oh, the dream. So get on down to Waverley. It's time for the Hydro. Look at all those clouds in the sky as the wrestlers walk on in. That's my Scotland. The Floridians must have been freezing. But as we all want to know, what did John have to say?
I am going to ruin wrestling for every fan, for every wrestler, for everyone. At WrestleMania, I make history by winning a 17th championship.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For years, John Cena has listened to the fans' lies and noise. But now, he's taken in all those curse-ridden nursery rhymes and has all the information he needs to ruin wrestling. I know more about you than you. You're nothing more than an experiment, rats in a cage. Going through moments from his career and the crowd's responses, but I'll always get behind ragging the watch ant. April 2005, he gave to them the greatest idea. The WWE Spinner Championship. In that very moment though, through the fans' ire at the disrespect of turning the championship into a toy, the fans played their hand. So at WrestleMania, he's going to ruin wrestling for everybody, promising to take the title home with him when he wins, forcing the fans to have to settle with the toy replacement because the real thing will be home with him. Genuinely, really, really like that note. This is what I mean by it's the exact opposite of the triple threat for the big lads. This is, for me, great character note stuff. Absolutely love this as a motivation for John Cena. Now it's time to get me Cody Rhodes excited. And we've got Cody Rhodes to amp it up. Maybe John Cena absence might hurt it a bit once they return to America. You got one more London show to get through first. But oh yeah, for me this was such good character notes for John Cena. And such a perfect setup for Cody Rhodes to then come back in. Whenever John Cena says stuff, actually the line that called him out this week was, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. So of course that calls out Cody Rhodes, you know, a man who can do something to stop him. out he comes to represent the fans. They did the exact same note last week and it worked again here. So whoa, it's Cody Rhodes singing his name as one, as so loud that even Murica McAfee in commentary said, oh, these European crowds are awesome. We've got him. We got him. Telling Cena he just made his biggest mistake, Cody Rhodes, not Pat McAfee. A lovely note to then let the crowd sing his name again before telling John Cena, does that bother you? You want to take it? As he laid down the championship between them. I'll give you the opportunity. And then Cena blew on his knuckles, which I guess that's a tough guy thing, before just popping off down the ramp. Cody getting his moment to retaliate, twisting the champ is here for himself with the WrestleMania logo up over his shoulder. So if I'm saying this was kind of a repeat of last week for SmackDown, for Monday Night Raw, I guess I have to say the exact same thing as well. But there was just something a little bit more direct with this week's Raw. And maybe when we see SmackDown, maybe we'll get that slight feeling as well. Just with WrestleMania just getting closer, the shows just get a bit more direct with the builds and setups that they're doing. Done with the vague hints and the getting the pieces into place, now we're just going to bloody do the thing, bloody set it up. But in regards with this segment, I thought that we didn't need the motivation for John Cena. This was more of the, this is what I'm going to do. Last week we got a semi-explanation for the turn, or at least a description of what the character's going to be. just him lashing out. This week was a direct, this is the cause of the thing, and I'm going to use this to fuel me doing this action. Just a full-on explanation, everybody can follow the exact why and what is did happen and is going to happen. And of course, a perfect platform for Cody to get his big hero pop, then come out and seem like the absolutely huge deal that he is. And I have not missed the word going round of, there's a reason that The Rock has not been mentioned, which is a note as we go forward. There's been absolutely zero mention of The Rock since the Elimination Chamber. It's now become a feud, not about being a corporate champion thing at all, and it's now purely about John Cena. Doing this thing to just go against the fans in every way possible to try and actively ruin wrestling. In his promo, making note that he's not just doing it to ruin it for the fans, he's also going to do it to ruin for all the wrestlers in the back as well. He's going to take this big championship home, take all of its pedigree, and just make sure that WWE doesn't have any of that for anymore. So, you know, if you wanted in the wrestling world to almost create a villain or who's trying to destroy the universe, it's like, that line could be said. Hopefully not. But, you know, this is WWE. The subtlety's not always been the strong suit, especially in the Cena era. So if Cena's going to properly represent his era, you know, be proper about it. be as blunt force. With no subtlety whatsoever. And before we jump into the main event, I want to talk quickly about Punk's response. A fancy drone shot around the hydro for the pop, and out came Uncle Phil. The AEW references he makes continue to get no reaction from the WWE fans. They just don't care about that stuff or don't know about it, so it's not really popping anybody. The AEW fans don't really want to hear it, obviously. WWE fans either don't even know what he's doing, and or if they do know, but like, they don't want him to. They want to be invested in his character. None of this is to actually do with his on-screen character. The line here with the "I work with children," it was just kind of nothinged by the Scottish. Even with the crowd turned up so you could hear the ambience of casual conversation, still couldn't hear much of anything. Punk returns to London to sign the contract next week. Yay, more paperwork segments. Addressing that neither lad has beaten him without the other present, referring to Punk himself being the man who brought the Shield into WWE all those years ago, hyping up to be the man that gets to beat them both at WrestleMania. So not a major thing to Psyker. A nice follow-up. Then we get to the main event, the Intercontinental Championship, Bron Breakker versus Penta. I have already spoiled that this is just a staging for an interference, but I got to see Bron Breakker versus Penta main event, and that was neat. Yeah, so yes, main event Penta. Not that main event, an actual main event. The Monday Night Raw main event for Penta. Apparently we're building to a four-man foray at WrestleMania, but we did get 9 minutes of lads dressed in red, action first. Penta perfect to showcase breakneck breakers, reckless charges and power. Dom and Carlito came out after the announced desk dive ad break lead-in. The schmoz coming, but the match back and forth wasn't taken away from us. A great counter for the Fireman's Carry gutbuster, swiftly into a Brackbreaker in front of Carlito. Then I also liked to Breaker switching it up to do a military press for the second knees attempt, was Cole called it, into the knees section. It's just the knees, mate. It's just the knees. That's a Cole-ism. I used to think that was a WWE script-ism, but Cole still says it. I mean, it still could be a script-ism that's just kind of stayed in his kind of ling, and now it's a bit more free. The Mexican Destroyer got a, yeah, kind of here. But the beat after was used for Penta to jabber with the two ringside lads, a little distraction for Breakker to hit his no-hands Frankensteiner, and a funny little hop afterwards, all excited into the pin. It's like, I'm gonna pin ya! Yay! Type of response. The end called for the WWE flow. Interferences. DQ after Dom lamped on Bron. The match stopped for the story. Yay! When shirtless Finn Balor joined in with a chair and building up to Dom giving Penta the official invite via the chair. Finn Balor out and oiled with his shirt off. He was not booked for action, but he was ready. He was oiled up and he was ready to go. Dom giving Penta the official invite via a chair. Denied! Penta threw the chair back, caught by Dom, super kick sending the chair into Dom's face. Angry Balor irate with Mysterio. Coup de grace to Penta and the Irishman stood tall there with the Judgment Friends as their shite new theme played. I say new, it's been 4 months and I still don't remember it when it plays. So I was like, oh yeah, this is their crap new theme. But it has been 4 months. When does it stop? When does that reaction actually finally stop? This was get excited for Breakker Penta pairing mixed in with the Judgment Day stuff, and that is apparently going to be the WrestleMania road. It's four of them in a fatal four-way, which was nicely set up here. It's not one of the things where I'd be like, oh, the rumours are saying that this is going to be a match. And I'm like, no, this is what the product actively told me. This is the match we're hurtling towards. They told me this is what's going to happen. Teasing just how good Breakker versus Penta together could be if they were able to go for a full match. But it's broken up by the Judgment lads. And yeah, Bron Breakker and Penta are good together. They are exciting. But it's currently just wrapped up in Judgment Day drama, and that's going to flow through WrestleMania as well. How many bets Dom Mysterio is leaving as US champion? How many bets he's walking out of WrestleMania as a title holder? Because it's not like the transphobe, where the threat of him winning a thing is kind of like that's the core of the heat of that, the core of that bubble. But for Dom, it feels like they actually want to try and build him up. Like, there would be a reason for them doing it. Not just for, like, a laugh or whatever. Not that I, like, would do it. I want to see Breaker continue to be champion. For me, he's the bigger guy to be building up, but they've got this thing for Dom. And they'll be like, oh, what a moment. It's like, yeah, but what if, you know, you actually built up Breaker, who's gonna be your star? That's me ragging on something they've not even done. Just, I fucking see them doing it. Speaking of the transphobe, he's going to be on the show to confront his fellow MAGA, AJ Styles, in London. We got a follow-up contract signing for the Women's World Championship. Rematch clause, a thing again. The explanation for Rhea Gemini being owed a shot? The answer is no. Ripley being owed a rematch was not mentioned or set up at all before this week. The note used to set up Io vs Ripley next week in London. They've now decided how they're going to get Ripley logically into the match for WrestleMania, and they've brought up rematches. So that's how they've gotten in. It was not a note before this. Completely not a thing. Not even mentioned once. So there's a little bit of hindsight booking there that they know how they're actually going to be getting to the WrestleMania match itself. And for Jey Uso, yeah, of course his mystery tag team partner was his brother. They beat down A-Town Down Under as the build for the World Heavyweight Championship match continues to just be meh. Gunter attacked after the match, at least introducing a new character note with Jey tripping as he went for the spear. Just, what if he chokes? I mean, it's at least something. Like, it's something. The jokey History of a Lucha Libre video for El Grande Americano featured our latest right-wing note by donning him as from the Gulf of America. The character is a fake star from a history that doesn't exist, using it for heat and showing a pissed-off Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. They also had commentary chuckle when Chad walked out and was announced from the Gulf of America when he came out for his match against Dragon Lee. Glasgow were in on the we all know it's Chad joke, so they had a good time once it got to the wrestling, chanting ole 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 and all of that. And the two of them did pull off a great match. They pulled off an amazing suplex throw reversal, sending Lee overhead into the turnbuckles. Such a shame the fun match itself was paired with the America politics BS. I get that Chad is meant to be booed for making a mockery of Mexican culture. I just prefer the designed to divide American right BS wasn't purposely injected into the wrestling product for that exact reaction of dividing. The Women's Intercontinental Champion Lyra Valkyria defended against Raquel Rodriguez, gave the crowd a European to cheer for and a tall person to boo. But I'm tall and Irish. Who do I cheer for? Who do I cheer for? I'm being represented by both people. Post-match attack, Britain's favourite, Bayley, made the save. And that was Monday Night Raw. It felt like a more direct setup for WrestleMania, which makes sense because it's like the week after. Like, it makes sense. And with the Netflix budget, the shows really feel big, especially these European shows with being over the drones to show off these absolutely packed, massive arenas. And the Hydro is a great one to show off. Perfect for those drone shots. But yeah, it is what it is. It's not the craziest shows in the world when you watch them. Somehow, 1 hour, 40 minutes, and I still found myself kind of just attention drifting off. Like, it's not that long a show. And I still was just like, oh, wow, it's actually losing me a bit. We still got that feeling from a like Raw show where hot opener, hot closer, but there's a lot of just stuff. Find your attention just drifting a bit. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, if you're going to watch Raw, watch the edited version and even just be very liberal with that skipping button. just go at it. Like, don't hesitate. If you feel your attention going, just skip through. Like, it's absolutely fine. It feels like a long show even though it's 1 hour 40. I think I'm staying with the same thing. I think it's a really good idea to have gone to Europe for these shows, because if these shows are in America, they're just standard, very meh shows, like, with hot opener, hot closer, but the actual show in the middle is just very air, and it's been that for every single one of these European shows. Like, the shows themselves don't feel like they had that higher quality. However, then you add a white hot European crowd and suddenly it's almost like a night and day thing. Like, if this show's like from South Dakota or something, I don't remember WWE's like most WrestleMania road stuff in America. I don't remember which towns they hit the most. It would just be such a forgettable kind of roars in a way. However, the fact that they're in front of the European crowds mean the entire show is white hot. It's not just for the big star in John Cena. It's not just for the Roman Reigns CM Punk stuff. Like, it's actually white hot for the entire show. It makes it feel way more special and really feeds into that perception of for WWE. Just going, look how white hot we are. Look how amazing we are. They've got that through the way they're doing these European shows. Like, this is a spotlight to really make them feel like a hot product, and they're using it. And I think it's a really, really smart idea that they've done that. I always find it weird, to be fair, that the past era didn't. It feels like such a layup for the new era to really establish themselves. But, like, Nick can't really make his stamp of the world thing. Like, being an actual world product. Like, they did these tours of Europe all the time and then just didn't use them. All this stuff was already there. Like, the shows to go to, knowing which cities are the hottest. Like, all that data was already there. They just had to use it. Anyway, that brings me to the end of this week, a very standard air week, and next week's got the London show, but I somewhat expect it to be kind of similar notes. I'm expecting to be standing here this week being like, yeah, there were like a couple of like decent things and we progressed closer to WrestleMania, but show itself, it was a fine watch. You've not missed anything by not watching them. Watch the John Cena segments on YouTube, and that's really all you desperately need to see. Everything else, it is what it is. We're back to, this feels like year one of a rebuild for whatever the next big huge thing is. Let's keep building Cody. I think it'd be a great idea if this version of the Cena character doesn't get there. As in, turning his back on all the fans, all that stuff, it doesn't work. But, you know, if they're doing a commentary on the actual current state of America, then him doing all this stuff should work, and then he should face no consequences and never lose the belt. But take it home with him. That's what they should do, if they're doing an actual commentary on it. Anyway, I'll be back this time next week to talk about Landon and all that other stuff. Do listen to me over on Sam's show as well, and do listen to all the other shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. The network as a whole, everything about it, we're in a really great state right now. Feels a cool network to be a part of. So with that, I say thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated, never taken for granted. I'll be back this time next week to cover more perfectly mediocre shows so you don't have to watch them. And with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.